folks, just to clear things up, it's not all about getting high. There's municipal ways of using marijuana that don't get you high. So for those of you who are out there and say, oh, they're just a bunch of drug addicts who want to get high, no, not quite. But hey, for you annoying people, I could say this. Be glad that marijuana has existed on this planet. It has extended your life expectancy by, gosh, 25, 30 years. So, you know, it's a good thing. But no, on a serious note, I was serious. Juicing cannabis for healing is an absolute fantastic, fantastic idea. And it's very healthy for you. We're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Juicing cannabis for healing. Katie Marsh is my guest tonight. Medical marijuana is now legal in 23 states, but still many people don't understand how cannabis is used to treat a variety of diseases and conditions. And it's true. A lot of people have no idea. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've suggested remedies that would help people with certain conditions, especially fatal ones. And they ignore it. They think it's crazy. Why? Because Fox and CNN won't tell you the truth. I can't help it that they lie to you. It's not my fault they lie to you, but they do. Anyways, a lot of people equate marijuana with smoking and getting stoned. But the truth is, many patients who use pot for medicinal purposes don't actually smoke it and don't even get high when using it. Tonight, we'll open a discussion on the myths and the misconceptions of medical marijuana with my guest, Katie Marsh, who is a former Ironman triathlete and mother of two who suffered crippling rheumatoid arthritis for 5 years until she started juicing marijuana. Yeah, I said it. Juicing marijuana. After just 12 days of drinking cannabis juice smoothies, she was able to quit all pharmaceuticals. Now, now, believe me, there's people in offices somewhere right now that are, the fire is raging through them right now because I said the words, the magic spell, quit all pharmaceuticals. Say it with me. Quit all pharmaceuticals. 5 months later, she's feeling great and almost healed. And I believe it. Absolutely believe it. I know of people who've cured their lung cancer with hemp oil. Where does that come from? Oh. Marsh will explain what marijuana juicing is and how it can treat and heal everything from immune disorders to cancer and epilepsy. Katie Marsh is the author of Juicing Cannabis for Healing, How I Achieved Almost Complete Remission of Chronic Pain by Juicing Fresh Raw Marijuana Leaf. The website's www.juicingcannabisforhealing.com, and I'm going to bring her on with us in just a moment. My website, latenightinthemidlands.com. Become a member, be informed, and by all means, inform others. And let's go and see if we can bring her on here. I'll tell you, no, that was the wrong one. Oh, boy. See, they've changed this little Skype system that I have here. And what it's done is, well, it sometimes confuses me. Let's see here. Boy, something's missing here, folks, and I don't know what it is. I'm trying to figure out. I'm looking for... Huh. Oh, okay. I think I found it. No, that's not it. There we go. All right. Yeah, see, they've changed things around on me, and I know. Now I look like I just stepped into technology here, but they did. They changed. They made me update again. They changed some things around, and I'm getting used to it. Let's see. Not to mention I've been sick, so, you know, my mind's not working as well as it should be. But let's go ahead and stop making up excuses here and let me bring on my guest. All right.
Hello?
Hello, Katie. How are you?
Good. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing just fine. I want to welcome you to Late Night in the Midlands, and it's a pleasure to have you on tonight. And I thank you for accepting in such short notice.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I love talking about this.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I love talking about it, too, because for one, I know it's real, and for another, I know it makes Big Pharma so angry. And, you know, and that just makes my night. But I don't know where you'd like to start. I know that this is important. And you know, cannabis it's like, I call it, I don't know, it's like God's gift. It's almost like a heal-all. People don't understand that. So I thought maybe we'd get a little background. Where'd you start with all this, and how'd you get where you are now?
Sure. Well, I was living in California, in San Diego, and I've been suffering with rheumatoid arthritis for a few years at that time, about 3 years. And, you know, I didn't want to take pharmaceuticals. I had to for the pain, but I really wanted something natural. So I was discussing it with a girlfriend of mine at the park one day. We had our kids there, and, you know, you feel kind of funny talking about it if you're not part of the stoner culture, but I really needed something natural. And I said, you know, what do you think? Should I get my medical card and start smoking pot? Maybe it'll help me feel better. And she said, you know, don't smoke it. Why don't you juice it? And I had never heard of that. But I for years I've been juicing wheatgrass and other vegetables. I just really believe in that kind of thing for getting your nutrients, you know, you're getting it straight from the sun and perfect synergy. So it really resonated with me. I thought, wow, that sounds kind of interesting. So I did some research on it, and sure enough, there's a small movement that started in Northern California with a Dr. William Courtney, MD. He and his wife started helping patients with cannabis juicing back in 2007. And he was seeing about 2,000 patients every year that would come to him specifically to learn more about juicing. So we packed up our family and drove to Northern California and met with him just to see if we could get more information. At that point, I'd already obtained my medical marijuana card, so I didn't need that from him, but I just wanted to learn more because there just wasn't much information about it on the internet. And he just told me what strain to use and said that it is a cure-all. I mean, it can reverse diseases, and the only catch is, like, once you start juicing it, you have to keep doing it, or you could backslide. So that's a little tricky part. It doesn't just cure and leave you alone. You have to keep juicing.
Well, I don't think that's a big problem.
Well, trying to get enough plant materials.
Oh yeah,
a challenge.
Well, not if they would legalize and allow people to start growing it. I mean, imagine you can have people already, you know, do vegetable gardens in their backyard. Well, they can add cannabis gardens. And if ever it was legalized, you wouldn't have to worry about your neighbors stealing it from you.
I know. Well, did you hear? I think it just happened tonight, or it's just being reported on tonight, about that $1.1 trillion spending bill, the massive bill they just passed in the Senate. Apparently, in one of the 1,600 plus pages, there was a caveat about medical marijuana, and it's the greatest thing ever to happen to the movement. Basically, it just says that the DEA and the Department of Justice are getting zero funds to prosecute anybody related to medical marijuana in one of the 23 states where they've legalized it. So
that's awesome,
and that includes hemp as well, because there was that big farm bill that they set up to research hemp in the same state. And I live in northern Maine, and I actually checked with my university to see if they were going to grow hemp for research, and they said they couldn't because of the federal prohibition. So I'm going to call them and find out, because now that that's pretty much non-existent, at least in those states, they might be able to start growing hemp as well.
Yeah, now I understand that here in South Carolina, I think the last I knew, they had legalized hemp, to grow hemp for research purposes or what have you, for farming purposes or something like that. But they still, There's, I don't believe, well, I know they haven't legalized medical marijuana or even recreational marijuana here yet. I'm just amazed that it's the whole country hasn't caught on yet.
I know. I'm amazed, too, but I think this is a really big thing that they just snuck it in there in the bill because, you know, that does more for the movement, I think, than having 23 states go recreational and medical. Because it basically makes it safe for anybody that needs it and wants it, you know, for medical purposes, they can have it, I mean, in those states. But it's, you know, they're going to have, the other states will have to start looking at it and say, you know, wow, it's legal here, you know. I'm going to try to do as many radio shows as I can between now and 2016 because I really think if people knew that it could heal you and it doesn't get you high when you use it, I think that could open up a new world to a lot of, especially some older folks or, you know, busy professionals or moms like myself who don't want to be stoned all day but still need relief from pain and to help reverse disease.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're welcome to come back on this show anytime you want from now until the election and talk about it. Just email me because this is important. And, you know, I know that I've used it myself for municipal purposes, and it helps. It helps with all kinds of, I mean, instead of people taking pills for depression, roll them a fatty, you know, and there goes the depression. Or even, like you said, juice it. I mean, smoking's not the only way. I mean, I love the idea of juicing, and I could see where there'd be plenty of benefits to that. And maybe you could talk a little bit about the benefits that come from juicing.
Yeah, well, the key to juicing it is you need a specific kind of juicer, a masticating juicer, not the regular, you know, Jack O'Lane centrifugal kind, because that'll get all clogged up because it's a very fibrous plant. You need the kind that's used for wheatgrass and more fibrous material like that. You know, if someone doesn't have that juicer, worst comes to worst, you can just pop it in your blender, throw it in there with some water, mix it up and strain it off. But that's not ideal because it's, you know, the stuff is really valuable, so you want to make sure you extract as much juice from it as possible. So you put it through the masticating juicer. It doesn't take much time, and then you mix it. It's kind of a two-part process. You extract the juice, and then you want to mix it into a smoothie because if you mix it with something fatty, such as yogurt or any kind of oil, you greatly increase the absorption of the terpenes, which is one of the beneficial components of the medicinal part of the plant. So, and it makes it taste better too. So you just mix in some fruits and yogurt, the cannabis juice, and you sip it all day long. And you know, it's funny because I was taking like prednisone and Advil pretty regularly, way more than I wanted to, but I had to do something. And it was 12 days of juicing. I was, you know, kind of blind faith. I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I was drinking it and drinking it, and I was getting more energy. And then after day 12, I realized I didn't need any more pharmaceuticals, and it's been almost 7 months now, and I haven't even taken as much as an Advil.
See, I've never been one for pharmaceuticals. I definitely don't like pain pills. I can't stand them, especially the prescription pain medication. I don't like it. It doesn't set well with me. It's horrible. And so
it's
for
hard
me,
on your liver, your stomach.
Oh yeah, and for me, for pain outside of like a toothache, I've had people tell me, "Oh, I use marijuana for a toothache." No, not quite. I think that never helped me. But for other things, it has, for back pain and things of that nature. But so I don't like the pharmaceuticals, period. But on September 7th, I had a heart attack, and so now for the first time in my life, they've got me on some pharmaceuticals that I'm told I have to take, or at least
we're sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, I am too, but it was a wake up call. You know, I got rid of the cigarettes. You know, I was a long time smoker, and I quit that cold turkey. So, I guess there's some pluses to it. But you know, and I have to take medicine for probably 6 months, maybe a year. Some cases it could be for your lifetime, and I don't like it. I want to get off of them. So. You know, I'm telling the doctor, let's do what we can because I want off these medications. So.
Yeah, that's, you know, but a lot of times they'll tell you need to be on something forever, and you don't. You know, I mean, I know my husband's taken high blood pressure medication, a whole bunch of medications when he gains weight, things that he needs, but when he starts to get in shape again and drop the weight, his health goes back to normal and he's able to drop the pharmaceuticals anyway, just naturally.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the best things I've learned for like diabetes and even high blood pressure is juicing. Juicing vegetables and good fruits and things like that. And if you juice every day and you exercise, you'll do all right. You could bring all that stuff back to normality. I know of a guy, Mike Adams, who claims, anyways, that by juicing every day, he's eliminated his diabetes. Now imagine adding cannabis in with that. I mean, it
would, oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's literally a cure-all. I never knew there was such a plant, but there's several top researchers that are calling it that. I mean, I have a list in my book, Juicing Cannabis for Healing, a list of diseases that it helps with, and it's almost laughable. I mean, the list is so long, and there's so much more research that needs to be done because, you know, they haven't done much research with consuming the raw plant or even smoking it much, but the list goes on and on, and it's, if nothing else, it can definitely help chronic pain. I mean, I think most people don't realize it's a very powerful anti-inflammatory. And inflammation is the basis of a lot of diseases. So if you can take in something the only negative effects it's going to give you is maybe the munchies and make you a little tired. But that sure beats, you know, what you see on the pharmaceutical ads. And, you know, side effects may include death or, you know, 10 other diseases that are way worse than the one you're trying to treat.
Oh, yeah. Side effects could include heart attacks. Sure. Now, mind you, now, I've seen one commercial for knee pain. For knee pain, lousy knee pain, lower arthritis in the knee, and I'm not downgrading it, but here's the side effects: heart disease, heart attack, stroke, a sudden death, kidney failure, liver failure, you know, toes falling off. I mean, you name it, it's all on there, and people actually go for that
because
crap.
My knee pain.
Yeah, just for knee pain.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, it'll get rid of your pain, all right.
Well, you know, it's funny. A lot of times, I mean, as humans, we always try to go the easy route. And I do find that even though I present this information to people, there's always a segment of the population that loves their pills, and they're going to stick with it no matter what. Unless they get serious detrimental side effects, they're going to go with the pills because it's easier. You know, you go to the pharmaceutical company, or you go to the drugstore, you get your prescription, your insurance will cover it, if you have insurance, and you know, it's not so easy to do the natural route sometimes. It's more time consuming. And in this case, it's a lot more time consuming. I mean, you've got to source the cannabis or grow it yourself and then juice it. And, you know, but it's worth it in my mind because there's no negatives, only positives with it.
I wish they'd legalize it here because I would grow it in a heartbeat. You know, I'm not afraid to say it now because that was then. This is now. But when I lived in New York State, I grew, you know, I had my time of growing it. Of course, you had to be secretive. And if you got caught, you were going to go to jail. And,
yeah.
And all for what? For a natural plant. It's just ridiculous.
And it's been around researchers think it's been around maybe 34 million years. So it's not, and the prohibition's only been around for 80 years. So, you know, people have been consuming this forever. And not to mention animals, too. I mean, if you grow this outside, there's all kinds of critters that come up and start munching on it, you know, from bunnies to cats. They know naturally. They intuitively know that it's good for them, and it's hard to keep the creatures away. That's why a lot of people grow inside, too. But
oh, yeah. I had a cat back in the early 90s. I had a plant growing in my room, and the cat got in my room, and I didn't realize it. I went in, and all that was left was a stick. Now, cats don't eat things that aren't edible.
I know, like one of my cat's munches on one of my plants, too.
That's not a bad thing. Maybe you could grow, if they'd legalize it here, hey, you could grow a little extra and let the cat go crazy.
Yeah, right. Just like, you know, they make those little wheatgrass boxes for kitties to have their own.
Yeah. It's absolutely healthy in many ways. You know, I know of a case, as a matter of fact, and this was even covered on 60 Minutes, of all things, so... But there was a case of a boy who was dying of, I think it was brain cancer in the hospital. And they were giving him his chemo and giving him his radiation. He was just going downhill fast. The father got desperate, and he read up on the internet about hemp oil. So he started sneaking hemp oil in the boy's IV, the hospital. Well, it cured him. The kid got better, and everything was all right. And then what do they want to do? They want to press charges on the father when they find out, even though it healed the kid. I mean, give the father an award for saving a life, but no, they want to throw him in jail for it.
That's crazy. Yeah, the oil is an amazing thing too. I'm going to try that next. It's very different than the juicing, because with the juicing you want to obtain a high CBD plant, a strain that has a cannabinoid called CBD, and in general, people have kind of bred the plants to be really high in THC and lower in CBD. So these new strains are sort of reemerging and being propagated and strengthened and cultivated because of their healing benefits. But so far as the oil, they did the opposite. They take an extremely high THC plant and basically make an essential oil from it. Cook it down using alcohol or some kind of a solvent. And then it's very, very concentrated extract. It's maybe about 95% THC, so you only need like half a grain of rice size, and you swallow it. That's probably what he did for his son, and you do that every night before bedtime, and it'll get you very high, but it's incredibly healing. I mean, all kinds of stories of people being cured from cancer from that. This one man who's a chiropractor I get my leaf from, he has a couple of, actually he has one chiropractor friend who's a grower, who treated four terminally ill cancer patients with this oil. It's actually called Rick Simpson oil. Probably called a lot of other names too, but a man named Rick Simpson started it. And all four cancer patients went into complete remission. Not just a little better, but they were terminal and they're better now. And there's story after story after story like that on social media. And
that's right. I watched a full, this guy who was on the Rick Simpson oil, as you called it, he documented his entire, from the time he was sick, diagnosed to be, with cancer, and right on to the end. And he eventually went to the doctor, and the doctor says, "We can't explain it, but we can't find the cancer in your lungs no more." He cured himself with the hemp oil. This is, and it's all real. You could see the guy lost weight. He got, he looked horrible, and he recovered. And it's just a shame. There's so many people who are dying, so many people who are sick right now. Look at the children who are dying of cancer. We could save them right now. And it's really, really angers me. I've been pushing for the legalization of marijuana since the 1990s, the early 90s. I've done it with my show as well since 2007, and it's great to see that states are starting to catch on, and it's happening. But I still feel like it's not happening fast enough because
I agree.
Right.
So. I really thought Florida would go for it. They were so close, and if Florida had passed it in this last election, then that would have really done a lot for the South, I think. But it's such a dark zone right now so far as having access to the plant down there. It's really a shame.
Yeah, and I think that some of these politicians, they're kind of old school, and they feel like they're going to get a black eye if they come out in public and say we want to legalize it. But it needs
to
be done.
And they're probably all smoking it anyway.
Well, yeah, they are. Most of them are doing worse than that. But let's face it, by not legalizing, I mean, look at the racket they've had. The CIA has put it on the streets. The poor people have been recruited to sell it, and everybody gets busted. The prison system's doing great. I mean, it's been a hell of a little gig that they've had here, this war on drugs, but.
Yeah.
And that kind of is one of the things. I get a little nervous sometimes. Is why are they all of a sudden legalizing it now? What is it that they want? But I'm glad they're doing it. But I still like to know, what do they want?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'd like to think that that our votes do count, although I don't know if they do. But
I think they do in some cases. I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I think they do in some cases. I don't know if they do on the biggest levels, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I just, you know, there's definitely a movement and a desire among people that, you know, want it legalized, as well as just the general movement towards more natural living and natural healing. And, you know, it could be politicians are responding to that. And that's the way the system was set up to be. I mean, in an ideal world, they listen to us and, you know, cultural mores change, and that's how change happens. But there's a lot of corruption too. I mean, I can't believe there's a for-profit prison system, and this is a lot of corruption, that there's forces of good and evil battling each other, and I don't know how it'll turn out, but it seems like things are headed towards the legalization nationwide. We can hope. This was a big deal today that let it pass, and
Well, you know what I think is why I joke around about this, but I think it's true. I think they say, you know, we've been busted over the last decade doing so much horrible things that we better give these people their marijuana so maybe they'll catch a buzz and just forget about us. So that could be it. But we've got a call coming in. I'm going to go ahead and take it.
Okay.
All right, let's do that. And we have, I think this is Kevin from Virginia, if I remember, is it?
It's West Virginia, but yeah, you're right.
Well, welcome aboard. See, I'm starting to remember your number. Welcome.
I like that.
Welcome aboard.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello, how are you? I had to call in as soon as you mentioned the prison thing. And what a lot of people do not understand about with the whole drug war and everything, this whole war on drugs, which I think is a total bullcrap anyway, but the prisons are actually privately owned, and they have a contract to keep the prisons at a 90% they have to keep them full at 90%. That's the minimum. So that's why I think, you know, why, you know, like I think you said that prisons are overpopulated, and I think that is why. I mean, if you look in the news around today, the establishment, Obama and all of them, with the immigrants and everything, are letting the people that have committed complete atrocities with rape, killing, murder, are letting them go, but the nonviolent offenders they're keeping in jail. And I have to say it's because of this fake war on drugs, and that's what it is. It's a fake war. I mean, and the other thing too, if you keep something illegal, and if you have both, if you control both sides of the black market, you instantaneously make all kinds of money. And if they legalize it, the cartels, your big cartels, they don't want to see it legalized because they lose money. I think it's about the dollar bill.
No, I would agree with that. It is about the dollar bill. And, you know, the private prisons, they keep them pretty full because it's good business. I mean, that's why you got people who have been busted with a dime bag of marijuana. Well, you were on probation. You shouldn't have had this. We're sending you to prison. Ding, ding, there's the money. But so I think that's a big part of it. Hopefully that'll change now. People are starting to wake up to this, and I think that's one of the reasons why they're legalizing it, is because, you know, they know we're on to their game. I've had lieutenants and former sheriffs on this show who have testified as to how they couldn't stand. They didn't want to arrest anybody for pot. Why? They said, why should we risk our lives chasing some scared teenager down an alley for because he just bought a dime bag of pot? You know, for what? And so they didn't like it either, and they're for legalizing it.
Ma'am, is your name Kat? Or Catherine? Or Katie?
I think
Katie. I have a question for you. I know people have heard me talk on Mr. Vera's show before. I have what's called retinitis pigmentosa. I'm losing my eyesight. I'm not fully blind yet, but I will lose all the sight that I have. And I get these really crazy headaches. Now, I've been down to National Institute of Health and all that in Bethesda, Maryland, and I tell them, marijuana helps the headache. Marijuana helps the depression that I have, and marijuana helps the anxiety that I have. What's the problem with me not getting this? I mean, you know, I just didn't know if you have run across that particular eye condition or that particular disease in your...
Not the particular one, but like I said, I mean, several researchers are calling it a cure-all, and people with glaucoma have had success with it. The thing with juicing versus smoking it, smoking's great for alleviating pain and even some inflammation, but, you know, a lot of your healing benefits are going up in smoke, whereas if you get the raw plant and you can juice it, you're going to get a lot more healing benefits, and it won't get you high because it's, which is, you know, good and bad, but if you want to be able to function during the day and get a lot of stuff done, it's nice to be clear-headed. But the, you know, the juicing, if I were going to try something for a disease that, like, such as you have, I would try juicing first, and if that didn't work, I'd try the Rick Simpson oil, because they're both healing uses of the plant, but they're pretty opposite in how they go about it. But,
you know what's, I mean, what's tough is, like, I've tried to get the Rick Simpson oil, and I'll tell you, it's hard. It's... Nobody's going to trust you and mail it to you, if you, especially if you're in a state where it's not legalized yet. And so you know, and I see, like, Amazon, they've got the hemp seed oil, and they try to almost trick you. It's like you think you're getting hemp oil.
Don't get that.
Yeah, it's not going to cure anything. I know. But so we lost our caller. So, Kevin, if you call back in, we'll take you back on. But yeah, so... You know, it's kind of tough, like where I am. I thought about this. I said, if I was diagnosed with something horrible, you know, that I knew I needed, you know, hemp oil to cure, you know, I would have to leave. I'd have to move out of the state, because I wouldn't, you know, let their little rules send me to my grave. So it's too bad. I mean, I've thought about this. My mother passed in 2001 from cancer, and I didn't know nothing like I do now about this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it irritates me that I could have saved her, but I use it as a motivation now to try to help others. And Kevin, Kevin's back with us. Kevin, I hope you heard what she said. Did you?
Kind of. I guess the NSA didn't like what I said, so they shut my phone off for a minute.
I was just saying, you know, if you want to give it a try, I would try juicing first, and then if that didn't work, try the Rick Simpson oil and make it yourself.
Okay. Yeah. Like, in my state here in West Virginia, like, I have called time and time again, and they're like, no, we see no benefit. No, you're a criminal. No, no, no. And, you know, I mean, and I just, you know, I've, of course, and I'll throw this out there, I've been arrested time and time again for it before. You know, and it, to me, it's not that big of a deal. Like Mr. Vera was saying earlier, why in the world would the police want to run around and chase a scared teenager for a dime bag a week?
Yeah.
It makes no sense to me. I mean, I think you're on a very, very great... I think, I mean, what I've heard so far, you've done great work. I mean, I'm glad that there's people standing up for Big Pharma and trying to knock them back down, because, I mean, they're a billion-dollar business.
It was scary at first. Like, I wasn't sure if I should use a pen name or, you know, I have young children. I've got a life that I love, and I'm like, do I really want to put myself out there? And I thought, you know what? I'm either going to put it all out there and be honest, and whatever comes, comes, or I can't just shut up about it. I mean, I can't start healing and just go on with my life and be like, oh, I'm doing great, and not share this information. I mean, people need to know that it's not only a painkiller, but it can heal you. I mean, that's huge.
It is huge. It's tremendously huge. And these officers told me that, you know, the only time they would act on somebody for marijuana is if, you know, if their sergeant's around. They have no choice. It's their job. They have to do it. If they don't, they get fired. So, but they didn't like it. Now, there's some out there, especially the rookies, who they want to arrest everyone. They think they're going to save the world in one night. So, you know, they you know, you get cops like that, yeah. But you know, a lot of the older veterans, they know what time it is, and they just as soon not bother with you. And a lot of times, if you're honest with them, they let you go. We've got another call here. We've got 509 area code. You are on Late Night in the Midlands. First name, where you're calling from?
Hi, Mike. It's Dina.
Hey, Dina. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
I'm actually a Washington State medical marijuana patient, and I kind of wanted to highlight some things on both sides of it, between the medical and the you know, the legal side, where you don't have to have medical issues. Mm-hmm. And I personally think that, you know, legalization on many levels is wonderful. The problem is that when you get in the government putting their sticky little fingers into it, you're paying extremely high taxes.
Well, Dina, here's the part that I want. I want it legalized. I want to be able to grow it. And I guess in a lot of states, you're allowed to grow a certain amount, right? So if you can grow it yourself, then you know what's in it. That's what I think.
Well, I'm a very seasoned, I'm a very seasoned grower. And the thing of it is that they're trying to make it to where, you know, anyone over 21 can grow up to 6 plants. The thing of that is that that is a seedling to a full-size plant. The cost to grow that is very, very high. So if you are going to be able to sustain that energy bill and the nutrients bill and all of that stuff, bottom line, you know, for only 6 plants, you know, right now for medical patients in Washington, you're allowed to grow 15, mm-hmm. which is much better than just 6. Mm-hmm. One of the problems that I'm having is that the taxes in Washington are so high. They're wanting to take the recreational tax and put the same taxes onto the medical marijuana. The problem with that is that majority of people that use it for medical purposes are on you know, a disability or low income, because they can't work. And just with the recreational alone, you know, they say that, you know, they're kind of doing okay on making some money in Washington off the recreational, but the problem is that the taxes are so high that the people that have always gotten it are still going to always get it where they originally got it. They're not going to go to these dispensaries. You're looking at the producer pays 25% tax, then the processor pays 25% tax, then the retailer pays 25% tax, and then when it finally gets down to the person, the retail part of it, the purchaser, they end up paying another 2 taxes, general and state, and maybe even local. So what you're looking at is, before, on the street, you're paying anywhere from $10 to $15 a gram for marijuana, but now you go into one of these dispensaries and you're paying up to $50 a gram. So,
wow.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's a big difference. And I know New York State's another one. Washington and New York State, I think they're amongst the highest with taxes. I know I lived in New York, and I used to smoke cigarettes, and the last time I went back to New York, I think the cigarettes were almost $12 a pack. I mean, my God, are you kidding? And all but about $2.70 of that is all taxes. So, and that's what they probably try to do to the marijuana too. But, you know, that's where we come in. We've got to make sure they don't do that. We can't let them do that. We've got to put our foot down, say no.
Michael, another aspect of legalization is, I've talked to some growers here in Maine, and they're saying that, you know, once it is fully legalized, they think it's going to go the way of, like, the large organic farms. You know, they'll have, like, huge licenses, hundreds of thousands of dollars just to get started growing, and, you know, versus now where it's much more affordable to get started as a caregiver grower, and it'll be over-regulated. But, you know, even in that scenario, as long as we can make it legal for people to grow their own, and as long as there's some good weather parts of the year, and people can grow outside for pretty affordably versus paying the electric bill.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it was legal here, I could grow some good crops out here in South Carolina.
Oh, yeah. It's humid there.
Well, one more point that I wanted to bring up, though, is some of the changes is that currently right now, if you are a medical patient, you can get with other medical patients and do a collective group. And they're wanting to take that away as well.
Oh.
So they're moving it down from 15 to 6 and then taking away the collective brewing for medical. So, you know, like I said, you know, legalization, you know, in a sense, you know, it does help, you know, get the stigma away from medical marijuana and marijuana itself and hemp. But on the other hand, I think that us being able to have a little bit more control over how much we're taxed is key. Because I quite honestly don't totally trust my state and federal government on how they spend my taxes.
No, and you should definitely not trust yours because you're in Washington, you said? That's,
yes.
Yeah, that's like that's the hall of the hall of doom right there.
Exactly. Well, I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll go ahead and get off and listen to the rest.
All right. Well, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
All right.
Thank
bye-bye.
You. Bye bye.
Yeah. So she brings up some good concerns, and
yes.
I think what it comes down to is it comes down to us. You know, of course they're going to try to tax the hell. I mean, they're learning now that it's a big money maker. That they could quickly get out of a lot of holes with this marijuana thing. Wow, what a concept! But you know, we can't let them do. If I could grow it at home, believe me, I could grow it, and it won't cost me much. I could guarantee that. So, because I've grown. Like I say, years ago, I took a stab at it, and I grew 7 plants, and it didn't cost me hardly anything. I mean, it was, and my God, I had, for the whole year, I didn't have to go and risk my life on any, you know, bad neighborhoods to go buy it. So,
were you able to grow it outdoors or just indoors?
I grew it indoors. I grew it in an attic. I took a cardboard, like refrigerator boxes, and I built a cardboard room in the attic, lined it with tin foil, dropped some lights in it, and had a little fan going in there, and it was all good. So,
cool.
and you know, some people, I know that some of my enemies will try to take what I said tonight and make me look like a bad guy, and I don't mind if they want to do that, but, you know, I'm not. For me, I'm not no 16-year-old kid who's going, hey, let's get high and cause trouble. You know, for me, it's medical use for me. I mean, marijuana has saved a lot of lives, and I don't mean just by, you know, cancer and things like that. I'm talking about, you know, imagine how many more murders there'd be if you weren't able to just go smoke and calm down. I mean, so that's where I see it. I mean, I've used it for mentally. To just relax. Like if I go on vacation, you better believe it. I'm near the ocean. I want to take a puff. I'm not a drinker, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you'll get people who smoke cigarettes and cigars, and they'll point the finger at you and say, "Oh, you're a drug addict." Well, what are you? You know, you're paying how much for your pack of cigarettes? And you know where it's going to get you. It's not healing anything. It's causing problems.
People talk about the addictive nature of pot, and you know, I think anything's addictive if it's pleasurable, but it's more of a psychological addiction. It's like, well, this feels good. This makes me feel better. Sure, I'm going to want to do it regularly, just like, you know, chocolate or if people like tobacco or alcohol or glass of wine.
Well, I was going to say I've got answers for that because I've had two different camps that have come out, and one says, oh, I had one woman tell me, oh, marijuana is the worst thing ever. My husband was lazy. My son lost his job and went to drinking and smoking crack cocaine. And I'm like, you know what, lady? Here's the deal. If your husband was lazy, he was lazy before he smoked the pot.
Exactly.
Okay? And if your son became an alcoholic and doing crack, he would have done it anyways. It has nothing to do with pot. Pot doesn't lead you to worse things. You know, where are potheads? Potheads are people who smoke pot are sitting home watching TV, getting the munchies. People who are drinking are driving cars and killing people.
Yeah, so, getting in fights or being abusive or,
yeah, exactly. They're and we're paying for their kidney transplants and all these other, or liver or whatever. And, you know, so there you go. I mean, it's just, they're ridiculous arguments. If you're somebody who would get addicted to marijuana, then chances are you would get addicted to Fruit Loops, too. You know,
right.
It's just who you are. You've got an addictive personality. So,
but I think, Michael, I think one caveat to that, though, and more research needs to be done, but I think they say that, like, up to the age of 24, kids or young adults really shouldn't smoke cannabis because it could possibly affect brain development. I don't know if they know this for sure, but...
I would agree.
That wouldn't fall in the medicinal category or the juicing category, though.
Well, yeah, I was going to say I would agree. I'm not saying sit down with your... You know, and this is what the fake news will do. They'll get somebody on as a guest and they'll... Oh, and then you think it's okay to give it to kids? I've seen Powder Puss there. I forget her name. She's done this. But Nancy, I think her name is. But, you know, you don't have to... Kids don't need to smoke it. There's other ways. I mean, they give them vaccines. They give them all these other things. Well, why can't you give them, you know... there's vaporizers, for one, which you wouldn't want to do with a child either, but... There's also eating it, you know, you give them, put it in a brownie. There's lots of things you could do to give a child, and it's medicine. You're not getting the kid high, you know, the THC would be taken out of it. So
right.
It wouldn't matter. So, yeah, I think it's a lot of lame arguments people bring up. You know, they think, you know, if you're a parent and, oh, my God, you must be a horrible parent, you smoke pot. If your kid's got some disease that you know hemp oil would cure, you know, all of a sudden you're a bad parent because you want to give your kid drugs. Well, I don't see it as a drug. I see it as an herb that has been passed down from the good Lord. I mean, it grows wild on this planet. And, you know, it don't hurt nobody. Who's ever died from cannabis? Nobody.
Nope.
So, I'm sorry. I get a little passionate and could go on and on about this because I know that, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, most of the people who criticize it are people who've never even tried it. So, you know, most of them, you know, they go by what they read. They pick up their newspaper and read something and they think, oh, it's bad. But how about, let's take a break here really quick. And when we come back, maybe you could get into some of the different things that it helps. Share a few stories and about people who it has helped. And, you know, maybe we can get into some of the states that are getting ready to legalize it. I don't know if you have that type of information handy, but it'd be interesting to know.
Yeah.
All right, great. So we'll be back. We'll be back in just a few minutes, everybody. This is Late Night in the Midlands. My guest is Katie Marsh. Don't go anywhere.
And as we have been programmed mentally, intellectually, one must be aware of this being programmed like a computer.
Programming that we are constantly assaulted by throughout our life conditions us, it programs us to a particular worldview.
The project is literally the secularization of the world. New secular or worldly order.
A new study says the news media have been pushing a gospel of godlessness on the American public.
Because this media is here and designed to make sure that they ask no critical questions. To make sure that the only thing that they are concerned about is having a good time. The only thing they're concerned about is filling their bellies. The only thing they're concerned about is acquiring more and more material things. And so that is why today one of the struggles that you have as young people, that when you want to do different events and you want to talk about real issues, you have the struggle of many of your peers who've been so conditioned in this matrix that they would rather party than listen to the truth. They would rather party and shop and go to the mall than to stand up for issues of justice. They're stuck in the matrix. They're stuck in the matrix. But you have the responsibility of helping to wake them up. Of helping to wake them up. Of helping to wake them up.
Now, how do we know that there's a God?
After having been thoroughly brainwashed.
And how do we know that there's a creator?
How do we know that there's a creator?
Ironically, I care about everything.
All right, folks, we are back. And that is a remix from the Afro Man CD that was out several years ago. I actually have that CD. I thought it was hilarious, and it was back then I was calling for the legalization of marijuana. And, you know, it's finally coming, but again, it's still not coming fast enough. And I know I'm overdoing it on that song tonight, but I like it.
I like it too.
But my guest is Katie Marsh. And Katie, I guess... so now, according to the information here, I see 23 states have now legalized it, correct?
Correct.
And, wow, 23 already. You know, I didn't think it was that many. I thought there was just a handful at this point. So that's good. And this is for medical.
And Guam, too.
Oh, okay. And... Do you have information on states that are... I know that South Carolina, at least our governor has told us that she's pushing to legalize medical marijuana. And you know after that, of course, comes the rest. But what states are on the verge of doing this? Do you know?
Well, I know the big one for recreational that they're looking at is California for the 2016 election. And it's... If that one goes, then that bodes well for the rest of the country because it's a big, powerful state. But I guess Alaska just made it for recreational. The thing is, there's so many nuances. Every state is entirely different. You may hear, oh, it's legal for medical marijuana, but, I mean, a state such as New York, they just legalized it, and I had to go to New York City in October, this past October, and they didn't even have any dispensaries set up yet. They weren't sure if they would accept cards from out of state. And the only way to get it was through a dispensary, and they hadn't even started issuing licenses yet. So just because it's legal for medical marijuana or even recreational, you really have to look at the fine print or find out what the rules are, because every state's widely different.
Yeah. Now, here's something I'm wondering. Now, if it becomes legal in, like, okay, let's go to Colorado, all right? It's legal there, right? Now, what happens as far as getting jobs? Do they still drug test you for marijuana, or can you now say, well, you can't deny me of employment, it's legal, I'm not doing anything wrong here?
I think it goes to the whole federal versus state battle that was going on, because I know in Maine they were saying, like, a landlord can't deny you residence if you have your card and you want to use your medical marijuana at home, unless they tell you that you can't smoke even cigarettes in there and you want to smoke, then they can deny that. And same with jobs, like if you have your card, you could use it. But then if the job is related somehow to the Fed, then that doesn't work. So it's a real battle back and forth. It's like, what trumps the other? You know, it's, for a while it was, you know, the federal trumping the state law, but now that they're not getting any funding for that, it sounds like the states have free reign to choose whatever path they want to go.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if it, you know, they would just leave it in the hands of the companies, for the individual companies or corporations to decide what they want their standards to be. But my thing has always been, if you're going to tell me, and I'm well qualified for the job, okay, I've got all the qualifications a person needs, I'm not coming to work high, but when I go home at night, I like to sit back, watch TV. Excuse me for not getting drunk and beating my wife. Instead, I like to smoke a little marijuana. So you're going to tell me I can't have this job? No. So then my thing would be, well, then what about people who drink? How come they get to go home and drink a 12-pack or a case of beer and then go to work the next day smelling like booze?
Exactly.
Yeah, but how dare you go home and smoke and get the munchies and go to bed? Damn you.
Well, you know, it's funny. I really thought, before I started getting into this, which hasn't been that long now, but I really thought that more people were anti-marijuana. And I live in a very small town in northern Maine, a lot of older folks, and, you know, I was afraid to talk to people about it at first. You know, I didn't want to be ostracized from the moms in the area, and I didn't want our kids to be affected or anything, but it hasn't been the case. I think people are way more open and hip to it than we give them credit for, and even older people. I was sitting in a coffee house, and there was a couple of old ladies that were talking about, maybe I should get my medical marijuana card. And I thought, that's great. You know, they're talking about it. And that's what we need, is people not to be ashamed, not to be afraid of the law, and just to be able to talk about other options. And my local paper wanted to interview me about the book, and I declined for now on advice of some friends. Just I think it needs to come out a little more in the national media before I formally tell everybody in my town about it. But
hey, I say go for it.
Yeah, I probably should. You know, my husband and I are going to open a medical marijuana caregiving business in our town, and we're under the rules in the state of Maine. We're allowed to have 10 patients because we're a couple each. The way it works is like you sort of take care of the patients for them. You grow their 6 plants for each patient, and you provide them the medicine in whatever form that they want to take it in. If they want it in a salve for their joints, you know, for pain relief, if they want an edible, if they want a tincture, if they want an oil for pain relief, one that gets them high but doesn't necessarily heal but just alleviates pain, or if they want juice. And, you know, we're in the process of setting that up, and I think that'll really help people. Our goal is a little different than a lot of other caregivers, because we're going to take on patients that are very sick and hope to help heal them with the most medicinal strains possible, get them healed, set them up at home with their own grows, teach them how to grow, and then send them on their way and take on new patients, kind of a revolving door of healing. So you really teach people that it's not just about pain relief, but that you can heal, and here's how to do it. Because it's really daunting if you've never grown before to try to figure it all out on your own. And
it how is, to obtain the medicine because too. Here's a plant that it grew wild outside, you know, mm-hmm. and then, you know, so you think, oh, well, it's going to, you know, it could take anything. You go to grow that sucker, and no, they're very delicate at first.
Well, indoors you have to replicate the outdoors, which means the proper light, the proper air, the proper fertilizer, the proper amount of moisture, not too much moisture. You know, it's a lot more delicate indoors than just chucking it outdoors in the soil.
Yeah, yeah. You know, when I first grew some, I actually got the directions right off the internet at the time, and I was kind of new to computers at the time too. So I said, wow, this is great. I could just go on this thing called the internet and just find out how to do this. And it worked.
Oh, I know. There's so many good videos now on YouTube. People are really sharing the information, and it's really helpful.
It is. It's fantastic. Unfortunately for me, I always end up in the state that's just behind the times. I originally am from New York, and of course, smiling's illegal there. and then I've now lived in South Carolina, and of course, you know, I don't know. There's still horse and buggy over here, so it's just I can't win. You can't win. You know,
they'll come around.
Yeah, I hope so. The way I see it, I'm looking, you know, South Carolina and New York's home to me. So whichever one legalizes it first, I will become a permanent resident of. So who wants me? Yeah, so diseases and conditions. I know we've kind of brushed over a little bit. We've talked about cancer and things like that. But, I guess, is it also, it's got to also, I think I know the answer to this, but it's also a good preventative as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, interestingly, there's the most healing molecules in the plant are called cannabinoids. You know, CBD and THC are two of those. But those same molecules are found in mother's breast milk, which I find fascinating that something that the human body makes is also found in a plant out in the wild. And that, you know, and I don't know if you've ever read The Secret Life of Plants, but it's amazing. These plants have a consciousness, and they grow and adapt to please us. There's another book by Michael Pollan called The Botany of Desire, and he talks about this and how they grow and change. And, you know, if regular plants, fruits and vegetables and trees and such, are that highly evolved that they can adapt and change, I mean, imagine the power and how highly evolved this plant is that it is so medicinal. I mean, it's probably even beyond our comprehension what this plant is capable of. And I know it sounds kind of out there, but I truly believe that it has the capability to do so much more than we know.
Oh, I agree. And Katie, I don't know if you know this or not. You probably do. You wrote a book, so you've got to know a lot more than I even do. But, you know, back in the ancient days, the Egyptians, you know, they're finding that in these mummies, as they're doing testing on some of these mummies they're uncovering, that they actually had THC in their system. They also had, cocaine as well, but not, of course, not like people are using it today, I'm sure. But they used it for like tooth pain and things like that, for an anesthetic if they had to do some kind of surgery. So, I mean, they were using these drugs. Marijuana especially. I thought it was fascinating that, you know, thousands of years ago, people were, you know, ingesting THC.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, even, you know, recently, 80 years ago, you could buy preparations of it in a pharmacy, and doctors would prescribe it. They hadn't even discovered THC at that time, so they knew very little about the plant other than the fact that it worked. And, you know, we always poo-poo anecdotal evidence and say, well, where's the science behind it? But, you know, for thousands and millions of years, people have been going by observation and what works and what doesn't. And I think that probably carries as much as, if not more weight than clinical trials.
Oh, yeah. And what you'll find is, like, for instance, I'm a big advocate for natural cancer cures. I mean, I speak often about it. I have some of the best doctors in the world who come on and talk about it. And, like, you'll look at the American Cancer Society, and if you go look at their website, I don't encourage people to spend time there, but if you go look at their website, they've got on there how a couple doctors, one's in Italy, the other one is a good friend of mine, Dr. Colwell, and they'll say, talk about the baking soda cures and the hemp oil cures and how there's no scientific evidence that that works. And I'm thinking, with all the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that you people have sucked up over the years, you're telling me you haven't done a test like that? You haven't run a study on that? I thought you were looking for the cure, because we found it years ago, and unfortunately, they're still looking. It's like they're not asking the right people. So that's a problem. That is.
Yeah.
That's a big problem. And that tells you right there that their interest is to sell their pharmaceuticals. I mean, there's more money in chemotherapy than there is in hemp oil. I mean, think hemp oil, my God, what, a few hundred dollars, you'd be cured? I mean, really? Compared to, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand dollars? And so, they're just, greed is in the way right now. And I think Big Pharma, the story's out now. People realize that the natural way is the best way. And hey, if by chance your natural way isn't helping you, then as a last resort, go to Big Pharma. But, you know, in the meantime, do what's right. Do what people did before you had pharmacies on every corner, because it works. Now, go ahead.
I was reading on your website about, was it baking soda and molasses? One of your guests was talking about. I found that really interesting, about sort of the Trojan horse effect, like it sneaks in for cancer, and then the baking soda, the alkalinity of it helps to kill the cancer cells.
Yes.
Cheap, simple cure.
And that cure was presented by a guest of mine who was then used by another host on this network, and he cured his cancer twice. He had cancer. Both times cured it with that remedy. So he shared that remedy with us on our website. And my wife and I had just cured her father of bladder cancer with that very same remedy. So it works, and I can attest to it. And I'll bump heads with Big Pharma all day long because we can prove it. It worked.
Wow, that's neat.
That is. And now the only reason we did that one, my first choice would always be hemp oil. Honestly, it would. But it's hard to get that when you're in a state like I'm in. So we went to the next best thing, and it worked. It worked like a charm. You know how long it took? 3 weeks.
Really?
3 weeks, yep, and he was cured. And they wanted to shoot him up with the radiation. I told him no.
Wow.
Thank God he listened to us. And and so now he's cancer-free, and he's back on the list to get a lung transplant, which because he's got some problems with his lungs not related to cancer. And he's been on a transplant list. When they found the cancer, they had to take him off the list. And so I told her, I said, we will cure him. If he does what we ask him to do, we'll cure him. And we did. And I know Big Pharma's PO'd now, but we did. We cured him, and we could prove it. Amazing.
Well, catching him before he gets toxified with all that radiation and chemotherapy is probably helpful, too, because it allows his body to aid in the healing process with the natural remedy as well.
Exactly. And what you'll find with cancer, and I know there's some people out there who will argue about this, and you know, to each their own. I'm not saying one cure doesn't work for everybody. That's why there's over 400 natural known cures for cancer. So keep that in mind. And so it doesn't work for everyone, but the key, you'll find that most people don't die from cancer. They die from the treatments they get.
Absolutely.
For the cancer. Yeah. Because you're given, you know, they say, well, you've got 6 to 8 months if we do the treatment. Yeah. Well, you probably have years if you don't do it. So,
yeah.
It's just, and, you know, thinking of scare. I mean, you go in, doctor says your test results have come back, and you've got a very aggressive cancer. It's a third stage. We've got to get going on it right away. So you're terrified into doing their treatments because you're afraid. And see, I've seen it work, so I'm not afraid. So I know that these remedies, these natural remedies work. Mm-hmm. And it's a shame. I have a friend, my daughter's mother-in-law, who is a friend of mine I grew up with, and she had just died from cancer. And I tried, and I tell her, this works, do that. She wouldn't listen, would not listen, wouldn't even answer my messages back whenever I'd bring up about cancer cures. And she passed away. And it's upsetting. Because, yeah, 41 years old, dead from cancer, and I feel like we could have saved her. It's sad.
But, you know, it's funny. So many people, they turn over all the power to the doctor. And the way I look at it is your doctor's your partner to help you heal. They're not there to just give you something and fix you. I mean, my husband and I have been seeing this one doctor. She's an MD, but she did like a 180 and went the holistic route. And she still has her license. But, I mean, trying to get her to prescribe you anything strong pharmaceutically, it just doesn't happen. Like, she'll consult with you, and she'll give you every natural remedy under the sun, which is great. And I worked with her for a long time, but she truly takes that Hippocratic oath to heart. I mean, she will first do no harm. And I mean, I've tried many times when I was in pain before I found cannabis. I said, please give me more prednisone, give me more of this. She's like, I can't, you know, this could happen. I'm not going to harm you. I'm like, okay, well, I'll just keep trying and find something.
Yeah, well, that's a good doctor. And what happens, unfortunately, is for most doctors, you know, if they tell a patient, you know, hey, here's something I read about, I believe in it, try it, you know, the next thing you know, the feds are kicking in their door and shutting them down. And I mean, that just tells you how deep. There's doctors who are in prison right now for curing cancer. You know, there's actually a law that says it's against the law to publicly state that you could cure cancer or anything could cure cancer. And that's wrong. I mean, that's, you know, yeah. So I don't know how many times I broke the law on this show, and I'll keep breaking it. But, yeah, it's a sad state, you know, and so let's, one thing at a time, let's get marijuana legalized in every state. And at that point, people could get access to hemp oil. They could try these things themselves and find out that we weren't lying. We were telling them the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you did, I was reading here, it says, it took you 12 days of drinking cannabis juice smoothies, and you were able to quit all the pharmaceuticals. And now, what were you had? You had arthritis? Is that what?
Rheumatoid arthritis is one of those nasty autoimmune disorders that where your immune system starts attacking healthy tissue, like your joints and your organs, and just things go awry. Probably, no one really knows why it starts, but some people think it's related to Lyme disease. Some people think it's related to toxins in our environment. I personally think it could have a lot to do with GMO foods. You know, you introduce these foreign substances into your body, and your immune system says, what is this? But, you know, truthfully, I'm not married to cannabis. If someone tomorrow said, hey, here's a plant, it can do the same thing or more than cannabis, and it's legal, I would juice that instead. I don't care. It's green and it's healthy and it fixes me. But, you know, I've had such great success with this. And I have a story about what really turned me on to it first was watching this YouTube video. You guys should check it out. It's called Leaf, L-E-A-F, or you could just search juicing cannabis.
Okay.
And this woman, she was in her early 20s, bedridden for 4 years. She had every autoimmune disorder and then some. She had endometriosis, lupus, rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, this poor woman was on 40 different pharmaceuticals, and the most doctors could do was just hope to keep her comfortable until she passed. They didn't think she would live beyond 30. They told her she'd never have children. And she, you know, who wants to hear that when they're, especially as a young woman in her 20s? So she ended up taking off with a boyfriend of hers and smoking a lot of pot and just wanting to see things, see the country before she died or before she got worse. And she noticed that her infections were better, fewer, and the smoking was actually having an effect. So she did some research and found out about the juicing and met with a doctor in Northern California who has been talking to people about it. And she's better. They actually got married. They have 3 children. And they go around the world speaking at different medical conferences about the juicing. And when she doesn't juice, she flips. You know, she starts to feel lousy again, and things start to come back. But when she has the juice, she's a spitfire. She's all over the place talking and raising 3 kids. And it's just amazing. Some people, actually, she thinks that there's an endocannabinoid deficiency some people have, that they actually need assistance from these external cannabinoids, like from the plants or from mother's milk. And interestingly, a friend of our family was diagnosed with cancer years ago. And I don't know what turned her on to it, but she started drinking breast milk. Don't ask me where she got it or how she continues to get it to this day, but she was, like most cancer patients, she was told she'd be dead a long time ago, and it's been decades, and she keeps drinking her breast milk and staying alive and doing fine. Not healed all the way, but, you know, she's getting those cannabinoids in her body.
That's amazing, and that leads me to think now, how about a mother who does consume marijuana? And I mean, you're probably decreasing the chances of your child coming up with any kind of disease like that, because especially if you're breastfeeding.
Yeah.
I see nothing but good from it. And again, I mean, you could pour some Coca-Cola down on the floor and the dog will sniff it and walk away, but put some pot down on the floor and the dog will eat it. You know, so they know something. And it's just got so many benefits, and for cancer too. Again, I wish I knew about all this back when my mother was still alive and she was sick, because I would have took her to Colorado so fast, and she'd still be here today. And this is why I do this. This is why these shows like this are so important to me. because, you know, I'm not going to let her die in vain. I'm not going to let any of my friends or family die in vain. I'm going to do everything I can to help people with this. But, you know, they got to listen, and that's the problem I find. A lot of times you get those who, you know, do I listen to this crazy guy who talks about UFOs, or do I listen to the guy in the white coat who's graduated school, you know? So that's the, you know, so they usually go with the doctor, and then, you know, I'm kind of weeping at their funerals, and it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah. I had one radio host. I didn't realize what his political bent was, but he asked me, he goes, "Don't you think it's interesting that the states that have legalized medical marijuana have also legalized gay marriage? What do you think about that?" And I was like, "Well, I can't really comment on that."
Well, you know, I guess if you look in the dictionary, gay means happy. So,
right.
You know,
they go hand in hand.
Yeah, so gay means happy equals marijuana. I guess it all goes together. But yeah, you know, they'll try to throw anything they can out there. Now, I was looking here, and it says grow kits coming soon. So when will grow kits be available? Because I went to click on those, and nothing happened.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm hoping in January I'll have them together. It's basically just going to be... it won't have plant material at all, because they can't do that. But
yeah.
I'll have tents available, lights, you know, everything you need to grow indoors. And eventually we'll have our own DVD. I have one DVD I'm going to include in the kit that's been done by another grower. But I want to really focus on the juicing aspect, so we're going to put together our own DVD ultimately. But this will just be something that people can really have a full kit. And anything that they can't buy at the hardware store. I mean, if they can go to the hardware store and, like, the Home Depot or whatever, and get some soil or a thermometer there, that's fine. Little stuff like that won't be included in the kit because of the cost of shipping would be kind of hard with the heaviness of the soil. But things that they would have to go to a hydroponic store for, or maybe they don't know how to put together a whole grow setup, we'll have that available. And in different price points, too, because, you know, if somebody wants to just grow a little bud to smoke or to vaporize, you know, they don't need as big a grow as someone that's trying to juice and create giant sized plants like myself.
You know, when I grew mine, I gave it all away. I mean, outside of what I used myself, when friends would come over and they wanted some, I gave it to them. I didn't, you know, so
I loved you.
Yeah, I think they did. but I, you know, I got enough off of it where I didn't care. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. I got to get rid of some of this. It's like, but I'm looking also here. It says a list of municipal marijuana caregivers in the U.S. And you've got some states listed here. And I noticed South Carolina's on that list. Tell me a little bit about that. Can you? I mean,
well, I haven't finished the list yet, and if it's not legal, I won't be able to put a list of growers there, but I'm only going to do it for the states that already have it legalized. It's hard to get those lists, though, because people are constantly coming and going, but I'm going to put it on there to the best of my ability. And you know what a lot of patients should do that do live in those states is contact these growers and ask them, "Hey, can I have your leaf?" Because so many times they just throw it away. They trim the plant because it allows the energy to go into the budding phase and create bigger buds, and they just sweep it up and toss it away. They don't even compost it a lot of times because they don't want the smell around, so they get rid of it as fast as possible. Occasionally they'll make some hash out of it if they're smart, you know, they'll make some other products with it, but generally it's just tossed away. So I get my leaf either for free from growers, or I offer to pay whatever it costs for their trimmers to trim it and bag it up for me. And, you know, some people that don't have a lot of money, too, can approach these growers and say, "Hey, can I barter some time working as a trimmer, just a few hours a week in exchange for your leaf, or, you know, whenever harvest time is?" And, you know, there's a way to make it work without a lot of money. And, you know, if you're persistent, and you know, again, it's sad, but this all goes to the fact that if you live in one of the 23 states, this is doable. If you don't, you know, it's still doable, but it's scary and it's a lot harder. And I really feel for people that live in states like that.
Now, what can I add? I don't want to put you on the spot here, but what 23 states are all good with this? Do you have a list of those?
Let me check. got it in my book here.
Because I'm wondering if any of them are nearby.
Yeah, really. Let's see. Okay, California, Colorado, of course, Hawaii, Kentucky, Indiana, Kentucky. Maine, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oregon. It looks like South Carolina. You said you're in North Carolina or South Carolina?
I'm in Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, this is related to hemp.
Yeah, I know. They legalized industrial hemp, I think.
Yeah, but that, I've tried juicing hemp before. I didn't have much luck with it, but I don't trust the source I got it from. It does contain cannabinoids. So if they're doing any research at the local universities there, which they should now that this new spending bill was passed, you might contact your local university and say, hey, are you guys going to do a hemp project? And, I mean, hemp separate from cannabis, it would be a great boon to the United States if we started the hemp industry again. I mean, it's crazy. We import seeds and hemp powders and hemp cereals and hemp oils and hemp cloths and clothing from Canada and China when we could be growing it here. I mean, George Washington and our founding fathers, they grew hemp and they would use it to pay their taxes, and even one of the American flags is on hemp cloth. So it would be a fantastic thing. It's a great soil amendment. It grows in 4 months versus a tree that takes 20 years. I live in paper mill country, so I'm really sensitive to this, but you know, it can be used for paper, it can be used for so many things.
Sure, and, we could save trees for one. We can even use it as a fuel product.
Exactly.
Outside of making clothes and things like you had mentioned, and so there's a lot that could be done with it. And then, of course, the hemp oil. That's good stuff.
Yeah, well, Rick Simpson calls it hemp oil, but it's confusing because people hear hemp oil and they think, oh, I can go to my local health food store and buy some hemp oil pills. Definitely not the same. And also, I don't think people should buy those CBD drops either, the kind that are like $100 or several hundred dollars that you can get on Amazon. I've tried those, and they do have CBD in them, but it's all about quantity. And personally, I think you need the plant to have the synergy of all the cannabinoids. You can't just yank out one molecule and say, hey, here you go. Here's healing. I mean, that's what the pharmaceutical industry has been trying to do for years, but there's a reason all these cannabinoids are in the plant and they work together. And if you pull one of them out, like there's this drug called Marinol, and it's synthetic THC, and everybody who's tried Marinol says it doesn't work the same as smoking.
Yeah, I've seen that. I had a friend who lived in Michigan at one point, or not in Michigan, but in Pennsylvania, and that's what they wanted to give him. If he was going to get anything, that's what he was going to get. And I said, yeah, stick your pharmaceutical where the sun don't shine. You know, I'll take God's drug. Not yours, but yeah. So I've heard about that, and I wouldn't want that either. I don't want a pill. If I wanted a pill, and I'd go to the hospital and get a prescription. It's, you know, natural. That's the best way.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. So I guess outside of that, where can people get your book?
They can go to juicingpot.com.
Okay, juicing, and I've been putting the website link in the chat room, but some people aren't in the chat. A lot of people aren't in the chat. So
it's also on Amazon. You can just search up Juicing Cannabis for Healing. But if you go to juicingpot.com, the website's going to be growing and changing, and we'll be adding more freebies on there. Like if you go there, you can download for free a list of the 20 best tasting cannabis smoothie recipes. So if you are lucky enough to give this a try, you can get some tasty recipes to make it more palatable for you.
Well, I'm definitely going to download that because since my setback there, my little heart attack that I had, I've been on a smoothie kick, and they do a lot of justice, but of course I'm missing one ingredient.
Yeah.
But now, as far as the hemp oil, you were talking about that a moment ago. So it's best then to get the oil from cannabis, then, actually, not hemp, as it's
right.
called.
And Rich Simpson, I mean, he was helping people for free. I mean, he was not only telling them how to make it, he was making it for them, but he advocates making it for yourself, because if you turn your power over, just like we're talking about turning your power over to a doctor, if you turn your power over to your dispensary or your grower and have somebody else make it for you, unless you really trust them and know what they're doing, you might not get as high a grade or high a quality oil as you need to heal. I mean, these are some serious diseases that people are taking it for. I mean, stage 4 cancers and stuff, and you know, we need to make sure that people are getting the right, best quality. And it's not hard to make either. If you go to YouTube, you can look for ways to make it. I mean, Rick Simpson talks about making it in large quantities to last you like 3 months, but that can be pricey if you're buying the bud from somebody else or even growing your own indoors. Whereas if, you know, there's some videos that show you how to make it in really small batches, and you can kind of spread out the cost that way and see how it works for you, and try it a little bit at a time and up your dosage, and you know, eventually people can tolerate the intense THC after a while and up the dosage to make it more healing for the body.
Yeah, well, you know, I it's something I definitely would like to do. I mean, I would have there'd be tubes of it sitting in the medicine cabinet here. If I know better right now because of what I do, if I even tried to get away with something like that, you know, they'd love to take me down for something stupid like having marijuana or plants or so I don't dare do that. But plus, yeah. You know, people have become such tattletales on things like that you just, you know, it's not worth it. But I'll tell you, I'm waiting. Like I say, South Carolina, New York, whoever legalizes it first, I'm going to seriously consider spending the rest of my life there because it's that important. I mean, you know, cancer. I can't count how many relatives and friends have passed away from cancer. And, you know, in the past, you've had to go be flown to Europe to get any kind of treatments for cancer. You know, because if you did it here in the United States, you'd get arrested. And so now that's changing with the legalization of marijuana. So, and I can only hope that it continues to go forward and that eventually hits this state.
I sure hope so.
Yeah, I do too. Now, you had mentioned Alcatraz when we were talking off the air, and I was just going over a story about how a few men might have actually escaped, and you said that you knew a little something about that.
Well, I think they probably could have escaped, because back in the 90s, back when I was strong and limber before rheumatoid arthritis, okay. I was big into doing Ironman triathlons and marathons and all kinds of triathlons, and I did the Escape from Alcatraz triathlon 5 times, and they take you out on a boat to Alcatraz Island. You don't actually disembark onto the island, but you're right next to it. They throw all the triathletes off the boat into the water, sound a horn, and you swim back to San Francisco. And it's not a very long swim. It's only about a mile, but it is so difficult. And but it's definitely doable. You know, the coldest I ever did it in was like 55 degree water, and I got hypothermia. But I was okay once I got to land and warmed up a bit. But I could see where they could do it. I did it with a wetsuit, but there's definitely a small contingent of people that do it with just a bathing suit on, and they survive. And, you know, they say there's sharks and stuff, but I think, I didn't see any sharks, but if you're going to be bothered by anything, it'd probably be the sea lions and seals out there, because there's quite a few of them.
Oh, yeah?
The seals. But they, part about swimming back is, besides the cold water, is the current, because there's a lot of swells, so it's kind of difficult to swim when you can't see very well ahead of you. Like, you do something called sighting. You look ahead, you pick a point way far in the distance, and you try to aim for that, or you aim for the center of the group. If you see half the group to the left, half to the right, you sort of aim for the center of the swimmers and figure you're going the right way. And but if you can't see the swimmers because of the wave swells, then it makes it kind of hard. So we would swim, and then you wait to get to the top of a wave, and then you'd look up at the land, and then you keep swimming. And, you know, but I was doing it for fun. I imagine, you know, these guys were doing it to save their lives and get out of there. So they were much more motivated. And I think when human beings are motivated, and, you know, there's not much they can't accomplish. So I wouldn't be surprised if they made it.
Yeah, that's true. And I think they were very creative to make lifeboats out of raincoats.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you got to think. I imagine that they knew what they were up against before they got out there. And although they're, you know, I don't anticipate they had weights and all that stuff in prison back then. I don't think they gave them all those privileges, did they? So they might have been a little out of shape, too.
No, that's true.
But then again, your life's on the line. You'd be surprised what you could do.
Right.
Yeah, I heard, you know, I had Al Capone's niece on the show a couple times in the past couple of years. And she told me about her uncle in Alcatraz and how he was treated, and that they literally, she says that they gave him shots in there, and they literally injected him with syphilis. And killed
him.
And that's her belief, that they actually did it and killed him. So interesting. And I guess he had opportunities to escape, but chose not to do it.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So anyways, if there's anything else that you would like to cover or talk about before we close out tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. And I want to keep your book linked up on latenightinthemidlands.com on our links page because I want people to be able to access this information. I'd like you to stay in touch. When you do get those kits ready on your site, let me know, and I'll certainly get the word out because it's saving lives, and I'm all about that.
Yeah, definitely. My husband has a tire business, and he makes he sells tires and wheels nationwide with this no credit check needed financing program where it's like $50 down and you get your product delivered. And we're trying to set up the same thing for the grow kit because I know, you know, not everybody has $700, $1,000, $2,000 to get going with this, you know, especially like that your other caller talked about where when people are sick, you know, quite often they're not working or they're on disability and that really limits their income or they're, you know, they're older and on a fixed income. So if there's any way we can get these financed, we're going to do that. And we're just going to keep trying with different companies to try to make it so that people can get in with like $50, finance it over the course of the year so they can get growing their medicine sooner rather than later.
Fantastic. Fantastic. So people can go over to www.juicingcannabisforhealing.com. Your book is there, and I'm also looking at your website. I've spent a little bit of time on there today. You've also got resources, the grow kit that's going to be coming soon. So some good information. I imagine that you'll continue building on that.
Definitely.
All right. Well, Katie, thank you so much for being a guest tonight. I have really enjoyed talking to you. You know, God bless you. Keep doing what you're doing because it's the right thing, and I appreciate it. And anytime, any new updates you want to give, even if it's for just a 15-20 minute spot, I don't care. Get a hold of me and I'll make room for you.
I really appreciate that, Michael. Thank you. It's been really fun speaking with you.
Well, it's been great speaking to you too, and I should probably give a shout out to my radio affiliates quick, which I haven't done yet tonight. Dark Matter Radio Network, hello to you. High Points Radio, top of New Jersey. That's 1700 AM, 100.5 FM, covering New York, New Jersey, and PA. And, of course, K98 Talk, who's held us live up until 11 o'clock. And you can get the full recorded show later, I guess, there. So hello to all of you, and thank you for listening. And, Katie, anything else?
No, I think that's it for now, but I'll definitely keep in touch with more things as I discover more things and when I get those kits ready.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, and keep up the great work. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Katie Marsh. She is the author of Juicing Cannabis for Healing. And I think it's a fantastic website she's got, she's putting together there. And certainly a good book. I scaled through some. I had a PDF, some pages on the PDF that I was checking out. Now, I've got to get the book and read the whole book. Because now, this is a book. These are the books that I really spend a lot of time with my nose in. And that's books that have to do with health and natural healing and home remedies and just things of that nature. I mean, if I'm going to read something, then I need it to be useful, something that's going to be educational and possibly benefit not only myself but others. So those are the things that I like to stick my nose in and take a lot of time to read. And so definitely worth reading. Juicing Cannabis. Boy, what an idea. You know, I'm willing to try it. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm certainly willing to try it. I'm sure, you know, it beats smoking, even though that has its benefits too. But like she says, you know, you burn some of the qualities away when you smoke it. So now vaporizing, really good, really good. And for those of you who, I don't know, I've been brainwashed through the years. You're probably thinking, oh, how dare this guy. You're probably looking right now to see who you could write to get me thrown off the air. And, you know, good luck. My YouTube channel probably go down again now because of this. Because that's what happens over on CIA Google. They'll quickly attack. And, you know, when you're getting truth out there, those are the things that happen. They try to remove it because they don't want you to know. I mean, they want you to buy the pharmaceuticals. They want to give you some synthetic marijuana in a capsule, you know. But cannabis, it does, folks. It cures so much. And it's not just cannabis. There's other natural cures. So, but cannabis seems to work for a whole lot of things. I had to mute my mic there, folks. I've been dealing with a cough here for the last four. Well, first Autumn had it. Then her son picked it up, or one of them got it first. But anyways, it has now passed its way to me. So fighting it. I'd like to get on this, get the hemp oil and start using that to see if I could get away from these pharmaceuticals they have me on, because I don't like them. They're side effects, and I don't like them. Now, I'm told this one's important for the next 6 months. You must take it. If you don't, your artery will clog back up and you'll die. Oh, well, hell. Nothing like, you know, an ultimatum. I have no choice, right? But I guarantee, you know, with some juicing and some healthy lifestyle, all that can change real quick. So that's what I'm planning on doing. Matter of fact, I had a reading the other day, Sunday, as a matter of fact. I had a reading from my good friend Maggie, who has been a guest on this show, will be back on this show in a couple weeks, as a matter of fact. Psychic Maggie, and you know, she told me a lot. Well, we sat and talked for about 2 hours. We could have did a show. I almost thought, boy, I should have hooked up everything and recorded. It would have been a great show. But it was a reading, and some of it was personal. And I'll tell you what, this woman is incredible. She is incredible. She hit some areas that, you know, she couldn't have known. There's no way she could have known some of the things that she brought up. I mean, but, you know, it's some stuff that I needed to hear, and she was right on target. And what a great job that she did. And I guess that's all I can say, because, again, some of it's personal. And I've learned I can't put too much personal stuff out here on the air, because the COINTELPRO are so quick to take that stuff and twist it around and try to use it against me. And speaking of COINTELPRO, like I said, I can't say too much about it right now, but be on guard, because sometime between now And tomorrow morning, there's going to be a press release coming out, and it's going to be explosive. Now, some of you who don't know any better, it's not going to be no big deal to you. But for those of you that know how these cells throughout the United States, throughout the world, work in suppressing information and attacking people who are giving that information, criminals, well, there's going to be a big press release coming out. We're about to expose them, and we're about to really make have our heyday, if you will, with these people. So that's coming out. I can't say too much. My job's talking, so it's hard for me not to talk. I want to talk about it, but I really can't right now. But it'll be coming out, folks. We're going to be cutting a little early tonight. Because as I said, I've been under the weather. We'll be back tomorrow night with the last frequency. We've got Ryan and I have, Brad Olson is going to be our guest tomorrow night. And we're going to open lines. We're going to discuss whatever you want to discuss with guest Brad Olson. He covers a wide range of topics just as we do. And so we're getting anything with Brad tomorrow night on the last frequency. Thursday, let me get my calendar out here. What do we have? Thursday, I've got Thomas Fusco joining me. We're going to be discussing the Cosmic Veil. And you can check him out, his website. Just type in the Cosmic Veil on your favorite search engine, and you'll find out more about him. Jim Oglesby will be joining us on Friday. We're going to discuss the UFO phenomena, but in a little different manner than you're used to hearing. So we got a pretty good week lined up. And again, we've got that press release coming out soon, so be looking for that. Those who have infiltrated the media, those who have infiltrated, those who are doing good work, honest work, who are honest people. And, you know, I'm not conceited. I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm some angel with wings. But I'm a good guy. I treat my family well. I treat my friends well. And I always tell the truth. I always tell the truth. And here's why I do that. Because not only because it was subjected morally within me in my upbringing from my wonderful parents that I've had, that I was blessed to have, but and of course my wonderful siblings as well, as I was blessed to have, and my entire family, who is just a very big, fantastic support network. But I always tell the truth, because I find that if you don't lie, you don't have to remember anything. You ever notice those people, you ask them a question, you know what they've told you before, and they sit there and they, in other words, let me think about what I told you about that. See, I don't have to do that because I'm honest and I tell the truth. You've noticed my YouTube channel's been up and down because COINTEL keep getting it down, and because I'm right, it keeps going back up. But that's not to say that Google does what's right, because they don't. They're a government corporation themselves, whether they want to admit it or not. They're put there for a reason. But you know, I keep fighting. But I don't care. You know, it's not that I care. I'm not going to let these COINTEL scum win. And we're going to keep going after them, and we're going to make sure that we expose them for who they really are, so that they can't infiltrate nobody else. You know, because long after I'm dead and gone, I've got boys who I've raised who are just as moral and sound as I am. And one day, one of them will take over this show. So, you know, you could do what you want to me, but along will come the next era. And then the next era. We're not going away. We're going to keep doing this. We're going to keep doing this until this world, until this country at least, is a safer place from the tyrants that have taken it over. From these black op operations that have molded the information, and they have, it really is an information war And we're going to win that war. I'm Michael Vera. This has been a broadcast of Late Night in the Midlands on the LNM Radio Network. Keep your eyes posted to the sky because you never know what you might see. And keep your ears posted to this broadcast because you never know what you might learn. Good night, everybody, and we'll be back with you tomorrow night for a full 3 hours.